Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, September 13th, 2018. With me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing well. John Martellaro, how's it going for you?
I am well, too. All a buzz, and good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Hey, we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is Jamf Now, which is awesome. So I'm looking forward to talking about them. But we have more stuff that we can talk about related to Apple's Gather Round event from yesterday. So yesterday after the event, we recorded Daily Observations and gave our first blush reaction to iPhone XS and family and to
10S.
Tennis match, as I'm hearing people call it now.
Yes. Okay. Now here, I'm derailing us for a minute. I have never had a problem with the phone name until now.
Uh-huh.
And in my head, I said iPhone XS. And what came out of my mouth was a very well enunciated iPhone XS.
Yes. I also don't like that what little bit of sort of reliable naming convention we used to have, we don't have anymore. Because the big one used to be the Plus, or as I like to call them, the Megaphone. The 8, you know, the 7.
That's the one I'm getting.
Yes, the 7 Megaphone, the 8 Megaphone. You know, and I always call mine, like, I have the what I call the mere mortal iPhone 8. I don't have an 8 Plus. So, which, to be honest, like, I call, speaking of naming conventions, I tend to call mine the 7S, because that's really what it is. I was sort of frustrated that it wasn't the 10C.
Oh, I'm getting a headache. I can feel it.
And I also didn't
feel it,
like...
Dave. I can feel it, Dave. My mind is going.
Jeff, if John starts singing Daisy, we're in real trouble.
Yeah, I know. I'm really concerned about his memory core bank.
Like, I assumed at some point... I guess I assumed at some point that we would end up with... model year designations, sort of like we do with the Macs now.
I thought so,
where they're
too.
mid-2018 or late-2016 or
that's
whatever.
That's what I was expecting.
I just assumed that it would all be iPhone, and now there are 7 of them, because if you looked at their slide yesterday with the price breakdown on everything, you have the 7 and the 7 Plus. That's 2. The 8 and the 8 Plus is
the
4.
The 7 and the 7 Plus. Yes.
And then you have the 8 and the 8 Plus, and then you have, so that's 4 mm-hmm. right there that are a minimum of a year old, because the 7 is 2 years ago's phone, the 8 is last year's phone, and then this year we get 3 iPhone 10s. So that's 7 different phones, and when you think about that for a minute, if every one of those models is on display, it's going to look like in a mobile phone store, like if you go to a mobile carrier store, you're going to have 7 of those up one side. It's going to look like the, you know, the dozen they've got on the other side of the wall from the Android operating system.
What if, Kelly, they have all the colors for the iPhone XR as well? That's more than 7 models, because that's 6 right there.
Right. I didn't even get to the part where you end up with, let me see what all the colors look like. So, and they're not going to have a 7 and a 7 Plus on display. It's going to be an 8 and an 8 Plus at best. And so I know that they're not all going to be out there. But it's going to look overwhelming and confusing, and especially when they don't call them the same things they called them before. So that makes it even more complicated for somebody who is not us, who doesn't pay attention. We do pay attention, and we're still sort of confused and you know, a little overwhelmed, I think.
You want another complication?
So,
Apple Watch.
No.
Apple Watch Series 4 GPS plus cellular requires an iPhone 6 and iOS 12. And the Apple Watch Series 4 GPS only requires merely an iPhone 5S or later with iOS 12.
I wonder why. Anyway. So
that's good. I mean, that goes back pretty far.
Yeah, but why?
No, I wonder why it's not the same line. If you have a watch, you need this phone, the end. Like that.
Because hardware.
Because reasons. Clearly. Is what you're saying.
Because reasons, that's right.
Because reasons. But I actually want to talk about the watch, if we can.
Well,
oh, please.
Yeah, so I want to talk about the watch too, specifically from the stance that Apple took, which is this is, well, I guess what they finally figured out what it's supposed to be, which is it's watching over us.
Oh yeah, at 10 minutes and 30, at 10 minutes and 36 seconds into the event yesterday, Jeff Williams says, and I did this for Jeff. Jeff Williams says that the Apple Watch has become the intelligent guardian for your health. In other words, it's now the guardian of the galaxy, assuming we're alone in the galaxy, as I wrote the other day. So it's the intelligent guardian of the galaxy because we're the only ones in the galaxy.
We're the only ones that count because I'm pretty sure no one off-world is listening to our show. Therefore, they don't exist. Yeah.
The rest are smart enough to stay away.
It's too bad this isn't going out on radio waves for hundreds of years.
Can you imagine?
I'll make some calls.
Yeah.
I Love Lucy is.
As it should
Lucy
be.
Has reached 50 light years away by now, right?
So here was one of the things that I thought about yesterday after he said that, John, about the intelligent guardian. First of all, one of the things that I thought was very interesting in this, and it's a thing that Apple's done a few times before, but yesterday I particularly noticed, and that was, here's a little section where we talk about what happens to your data. Here's how it's secure. Here's how it's encrypted. And they didn't go into a bunch of detail, but they gave us the broad strokes, which basically said, like, you know, even if Apple wanted your data, Apple can't get to it. You know, the only way it happens is if you explicitly share it with someone else. You know, like they said, you know, send a PDF or whatever it was for the EKG readings.
Right.
And I want that to be part of every technology presentation, because that seems super great. Like, here's what the new Android phones are doing. Here's how your data is encrypted on that device in this new operating system, or we've released this new hardware. Here's what happens to your stuff if you put, you know, like if you're putting Android Pay on it. Here's how. I feel like the security piece needs to just be a standard part of what we get when we talk about this stuff. And so I was really excited that that was a thing that they actually brought up. And it was just a piece of what they were rolling out with the new watch. But the thing that stuck with me was yesterday, I don't remember who I was talking to, who said, this is a way that you can do more to interactively track your health information. And to me, that's only half right. Like, you are doing a better job of tracking your health information, but the reason that you're able to is because you don't have to do anything. So if you wear a watch now and you just wear a, if you wear a watch every day already, and you just start wearing a different watch instead, you've already done more for your health monitor. And if you're somebody who has an issue here and there from time to time, you can just, you know, hit record with the ECG and have that information available to you. And you don't have to do anything like consciously in order to make that any different. And I feel like that is the biggest win out of all of this, is that you don't have to change any habit that you already have if you're an existing Apple Watch user, or even if you're just an existing watch wearer and now you've decided it's finally time to upgrade to an Apple Watch. If you wear a watch every day and you just start wearing this one instead, you're automatically doing more, but to you, it's still the same habit.
My feeling is that we've kind of turned the corner here, Kelly. When we first got the watch, the idea was, you know, it was a watch with some complications, and it had some neat stuff, and you could run apps.
It was text then, messages then, on your arm.
Yeah,
that was what we got the first time around.
And then it said, "Oh, by the way, it'll give you your pulse," and it's sort of a byproduct. But you know, we've really come a long way with the popular thinking about this device, as opposed to a cool watch that competes with other watches, to this intelligent guardian of your health. And now the future is just about unlimited in what you can do with this device that's always in contact with your skin. I expect for the next 10 years, this is going to get amazing.
I think you're right. And I think the reason we are here today with Apple Watch Series 4 is because Apple has been watching very closely how people use the watch over the past 4 years. And they've used that to figure out what the product really is. Because I don't think they knew what Apple Watch was when Series 0 shipped.
Was calculator going to be a big thing for calculating tips? was weather or transit information going to be a big thing? Yeah, the sky was the limit in the early days. But they've got all this data now, watching people look at their watches, doing their workouts, counting their steps, looking at their pulse. So they've got a really good feel from the feedback that they get from the hardware.
Yeah, it's a health and fitness device.
It is.
That also links to your phone so you can get other data.
So I predict next will be blood glucose. And I predict next after that will be blood chemistry. And there may be an insert that in your bloodstream that transmits to the watch.
How about a pulse oximeter? I think they could build that in too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
and yeah, that has to go all the way through though instead of reflect back. I'm not sure about that.
My first theory on that, as people know, I run a home for the crackpot theory, and my theory on why this is what we get first is because it's sort of the easiest because it doesn't actually change anything. So all it's doing is reporting your heart rate or your heart rhythm. It doesn't influence that in any way. It's just showing it. And now Apple has done a lap of talks with the FDA, figured out what the approval process is like, what it takes to get approved by the FDA, what kind of requirements there are, if there's security, you know, that goes around the information itself and, you know, how it gets transmitted, if there's like HIPAA concerns that need to be addressed as part of the process and all of these things. They've walked through all this process for this, which is just a monitor. All it can do is come back and say, this is what your heartbeat was at the time that I was recording. And I'm really hopeful that the next round is something where now that it's an FDA approved device, now somebody can hook a glucose monitor to it. And like, if your blood sugar is fluctuating in some crazy way, maybe your watch can go off like it can now with your heart rate and be like, you're having an issue. And like, if you're, I know a couple of people who wear like wearable insulin pumps that have to be attached to them all the time. And having something like that be able to communicate with your arm effectively and immediately would be unbelievably useful. So I'm hopeful that that's where we end up next.
I want to talk about the optics for a second.
Okay.
Okay.
If you turn the watch over, the current series 0123, it's a pretty beautiful piece of glass and optics on the back. But I think they've taken the back of the series 4 to the next step. And being an optics nutcase myself, and you know, background in astronomy and having telescopes and binoculars, I am greatly in admiration of the physical and optical design of the back of the watch. It's too bad it faces your arm all the time, because that is one of the most beautifully engineered pieces of glass and sapphire and optics I have ever seen. And it just creates this sense of awe of the engineering craftsmanship of Apple, let alone the front face and the design.
Well, it's clear Apple pays attention to the little details, because part that you don't see because it's against your wrist or it's in the charger is designed to look as sleek and as beautiful as any other part of the watch.
It's a remarkable thing about this device. It's the craftsmanship and the beauty of it, as well as all the functionality we've been talking about for your health.
This was the star product yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is why I cannot believe we ended up spending so much time on the phones. It felt like a lot to me on the phone.
What's the moneymaker?
Well, that's true.
Two-thirds of Apple's revenue.
But, like, we wailed through all of the watch stuff, and the watch stuff was super great. And it was awesome to see, and it was really cool to watch them spend time on that stuff. And, like, we whipped, it felt to me like we whipped through the Apple Watch stuff. And then we got to the phones and we stopped dead, because it felt to me like they explained the 10 that comes in colors a second time all the way through, like they hadn't just told us all that stuff about the 10. So I have to say, I got a little kind of, I checked out a little bit, because I'm like, you just told me all of this about the 10S.
I got that feeling too.
Just told me all of this.
I have a hypothesis. Which
yeah.
is probably Me different too. From yours. And my hypothesis is that, and by the way, after my hypothesis, I'm going to talk about our sponsor. And then we can talk about your hypothesis.
okay, and mine.
Yeah, your being the community, your both of your hypothesi.
So, just do them now and then leave us dangling for your hypothesis.
Yeah. No, we'll do mine first. Because yours are probably more spot on. Okay, here's my hypothesis. It's that the reason that we got the big rehash on iPhone XR is because the presentation for iPhones yesterday was not for us, meaning iPhone X and iPhone 8 owners. That presentation was for iPhone 7 and earlier owners, because realistically, what's the value in you replacing your iPhone 10 or iPhone 8 or 8 Plus with an iPhone XS? And the answer is there's probably no reason at all, unless you just want the new phone to do the upgrade. But a 7 and earlier, different story. So they needed to present the iPhone XS and XS Mega Plus Max. iPhone XS Max. Jeez, Apple.
The tennis match. The tennis match.
They had to do the tennis match and present that as an iPhone package. And then they had to present the XR separately, because that's going to be the one that that so many people are going to jump on.
Probably the biggest seller.
Yeah. So that's my hypothesis. And now I'm going to do our sponsor bit, which is Jamf Now. And clearly I'm excited about them, because I wouldn't even let you guys give your hypothesis before I started talking about Jamf Now. So let's say that you have more than one Apple device, say an iPhone, an iPad, and a Mac, and you want to keep track of serial numbers, operating system version numbers, settings. You want to have your own controls over what type of passwords, how strong they can be on these devices. You can do all of that with Jamf Now. And if you have a business, even better, because you can do this for all the Apple devices that you're managing for your company, which is great because, hey, you know, if you have several employees, that's several iPhones, probably several Macs, and at least a handful of iPads, and that gets crazy pretty quick. So having a way to keep track of all these devices, know what's on them, make sure they have the right settings, that's awesome. And to do it in an easy way, even better. So what you guys can do is take control of all of your devices as if you were a senior IT manager handling a corporate level mobile device management platform, because that's essentially what you become, and it's super easy to do. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and you can sign up for an account for free, and they let you have three devices attached to your account for free forever. It's not like a special deal. It's just what they do, because it's important to be able to keep track of all your gear. If you have more devices, no problem. Three devices, and then $2 per device per month after that. So it's not expensive to add more gear in, and it's just a wonderful tool. So jamf.com/TDO, sign up for your Jamf Now account, and thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. All right, hit me with your hypothesis, John.
It's very similar to yours, if not the same. My feeling was that Apple needed to make it very clear what the capabilities were for this lower cost phone. And because they knew that the nagging question would be, you know, for $200 less, what am I missing and what am I getting? And that deserved a full feature segment to explain that this is almost as good, except for maybe the display. And even then, the display is pretty darn good because they gave it a cool name. So they wanted to make it perfectly liquid clear. Retina. Yeah, liquid retina. So The task was to explain what you're getting and not getting for $799 or $749 starters.
For a bunch of money.
Yeah, for a couple hundred dollars less. And that deserved a full feature segment to make that point really clear.
And I think something related, but it is, they should have started with the 10C and said, here are all the awesome things that you can use this phone. It's the C. It comes.
It's the 10R. It's the 10R.
It comes in colors. It's a C. So
2 × 5C equals 10R.
Apple taught me this. This is how things work. So I think they should have done it with the 10C and here's what you get. Here's what's awesome. You get the portrait mode stuff, but you get it with a single lens. You get all the awesome stuff that is in the 10 that you wanted last year, but couldn't figure out how to scrape up $1,000 for. So here's this phone. Isn't it amazing? And then go, now take all of that and give it this new amazing screen and a whole nother lens and da 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 da. And you get the tennis match, the tennis, and then you get the tennis match. So they could have done it the other way. Instead of going through all the same stuff in exactly the same way. Now, Jeff, I do agree a little bit with your assessment that this ad wasn't for you and I as an iPhone 8 owner and an iPhone 10 owner. This ad was for 7 and previous owners, because the 7 is 2 years old now. If people are still on subsidized plans, they would be eligible for upgrades now. I think something got cut, and I think that what they were doing was stretching, because you can't have an hour or an hour and a half long Apple event. Your watch needs to remind you to stand up twice or Apple is doomed. And I think so. That's my assessment, is that like they were finally going to give us the little charging mat, but they couldn't do it. Or there were new headphones, you know, the new iteration of AirPods that we keep hearing rumblings about, like didn't make the cut because there was some sort of manufacturing issue or something. And they couldn't figure out a way to make it something where they could go, you get this, but not for a month, like they did with the 10C, because it comes out a month later.
10R.
And we've heard it's because of manufacturing issues. I can't hear John right now. Because we know that there are manufacturing issues, and that's why that one gets a delay. So they can't even give us something where they can accurately predict, like, if we just delay it a month or two, that we're going to get it. So my theory on that is that we're going to end up with a follow-up event in October.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but I want your opinions on what will be in an October event, because Kelly, I'm with you. There's an October event coming. It just hasn't been announced yet. So Kelly, yeah, what do you expect to see at this October event before we wrap up?
I expect to see new iPads. I expect the new iPads not to have a headphone jack, because they're going to also debut the new iteration of AirPods. And I hope that we get a new, I don't care which flavor, but a new iteration of Mac.
Okay. And John, how about you?
Yeah, Kelly brings up an interesting point. I'm not quite sure whether there's going to be an iPad and peripherals event, and then later the Macs will just be rolled out as a event on the website. Oh, by the way, second priority. Or whether there'll be a combined iPad and Mac event. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't ring true to Apple's past history and how they do it.
Which is so why they would do it, is so that people see that they do still care about the Mac, which is what they keep telling us, but not showing us, and now they could show us.
There's so much stuff we would love for Apple to do and sound so sensible, as you say, but my worst fear is that they'll just do an iPad event, and then the Macs will kind of get rolled out as a shrug afterthought. But because the Mac Pro is not ready yet, and so what they've got is a Mac Mini and a new low-cost MacBook of some kind, replacing the MacBook Air.
And the question is what you want. What do you want?
What do I want Apple to do?
Mm-hmm.
Time's running out, and if they're going to have a big Christmas season, they're going to get their stuff lined up and then in people's face. They need to have one more event in October where they wrap up all the products for the rest of the year and get ready for Christmas. So it makes sense to have another event with the iPads and the Macs, the Mac Mini and the new low-cost MacBook Air replacement. Makes sense.
All right. So I will wrap us up by saying I'm guessing we will get an iPad Pro event. And everything that Apple announces, it has to happen by early November, because they want these announcements before the holiday buying season. And they want to make sure that they can get pre-orders and stuff handled, so that stuff's in the channel and people are buying. iPad Pro event, and I'm guessing unless they're doing something really big with the two new Macs we're expecting, they may not get an event. They'll just get a rollout and press release.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boo. Yeah.
All right. So we are out of time. Kelly, thanks for being here today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. John, it's great to have you here. So thank you.
10R. Bye, Kelly.
I think John's mic cut out just there. I'm really sorry I couldn't hear him.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. Hey, Jamf Now, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, 3 devices for free on your account. Keep track of your Apple gear and your settings and everything. It's wonderful. And listeners, thank you for joining us. I am so glad you were here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.